stripes, ice cream, alert, 654 Jose, okay, on nothing.
Welcome to 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. Let's get the show started with your hosts, Brandon Adcock and Jason Varner.
Hey guys, welcome back here to 3rd and 8 on Next Door Radio and nextdoorradio.com. We're a top 10 all-time sports show. And we're going to start off with Thursday night's game with the Dallas Cowboys and the Titans, man. The Titans honestly may have found a quarterback in Josh Dobbs.
Just remember, you started it.
I did. Josh Dobbs, man, and he's going to start the next week's game when they face the Jacksonville Jaguars to see which team and everybody drags them to the playoffs and loses in the first round. Jaguars, I'm praying for you. But Dak Prescott, man, he's turning the ball over at such a high rate. He's turning the ball over more than Derek Carr, who was benched earlier this week. And, like, Dak Prescott is the main reason I do not see Dallas making out of the first round of playoffs again. I think Dak Prescott is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the game today. I think if he had a Titans logo instead of the star on his helmet, he wouldn't even be ranked in the top 10 at all anywhere.
He shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be, but somehow annually he is by everybody at ESPN, and they're wrong every year, as we've seen.
There's reasons.
He's got the star on his helmet. But
there's other reasons.
Fair enough. But no Derrick Henry and no Malik Willis, which is honestly a good thing. No Ryan Tannehill, which sucked. And the Titans are, you know, had now one win away from being sent home. They lost the past month and a half straight. And thank God for that as a Colts fan. You know, have you got any thoughts on the game? You know, the Tony Pollard was out. Dak turned the ball over twice. You know, hey, Lamb had 11 catches to 400 yards. Dalton Schultz, who's starting to be a top five tight end in this league. A very sneaky, underrated guy. He had 2 touchdown catches on the night. But not much to smile about, though, if you're a Titans fan, unless you're Joshua Dobbs, who I mean, I guess give you something, to 20 or 39, a touchdown and a pick, that's bad, though, when that's great QB play in Tennessee.
Here's my thoughts on it. The Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants are the two luckiest teams and the two most favored teams in the history of the NFL. They get every call.
Tom Brady. You know,
every call. No,
Patriots,
Tom Brady.
Have a
no.
Word of that.
No.
Yes. No.
They get every call. Not one call.
The Giants have made the playoffs in 6 years.
Not,
they made it twice in 25.
One,
they're not favored.
Not because the referees do not attempt to help them.
Well, they are doing a terrible job.
They're still terrible. They had McAdoo and Joe Judge. That tells you the whole story of that team.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay? But the referee still tried to help them in.
They didn't need no help on Sunday.
Dallas,
boy,
the referee, you can count on a couple of things. If Dallas is losing, the refs will do everything in their possible spectrum of ability to help them over the hump.
And he says this with absolutely, you know, hey, no bias as a Washington fan.
No bias.
He said no bias.
No bias.
I mean, I
so
hate
how's
Dallas
that
going
to work if they play the Giants? Like, who gets picked?
Dallas. Yeah. Hey, there's preferential treatment. It goes Dallas, then the Giants, then the Patriots, not Tom Brady, then Tom Brady. That's the truth.
Nah, okay, anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now, up next, the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons. Just, you know what I'm saying, the battle of the Dirty Birds.
We all pick Cowboys, by the way, and then on this one, we pick Falcons.
Well, hey, 2-0.
Look at it.
I had no faith in Arizona coming into the season. I have less now with David Blau starting the quarterback. And Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to be commentating with us in week one of next year because that man is going to be jobless.
No, he'll be offensive coordinator somewhere.
I think him and Frank Wright will, to be honest.
I wouldn't mind. I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury is a quality head coach because, you know, a quality head coach picks great assistants, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think he is offensively gifted. I think he's a gifted coach. When his quarterback is healthy, they produce points.
I also think a lot of it is just Kyler being a freak athlete. I think some of
it is. But he creates opportunities for Kyler to be a freak athlete. He schemes the whole offense around Kyler's ability to be a freak athlete. All right. He doesn't ask Kyler to do things that Kyler can't do. All right. Unlike Scott Turner, who we'll get to later, who literally, if he had a Lamborghini pull in the door, would say, listen, I need you to be a 4x4 pickup truck.
What's the towing power of a Lamborghini?
I don't know, but I would like for Cliff Kingsbury, hate all you want, I would like to at least interview for offensive coordinator spot in Washington.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, him and Frank are going to probably be offensive coordinators somewhere, though, but they would not be head coaches. I can guarantee you that. But David Blau, I mean, one touchdown, no interceptions, and that's about as good as you can ask for. I had to get third-string quarterback. I think he was fourth. 126 yards on the day rushing, and Atlanta just squeaked one out, man. Desmond Ridder finally got his first win. I feel like Arthur Smith, he's made
a splash down there.
Doing what he's had to work with this year.
Dude, I'm proud of that guy. He's proven to be something.
Yeah. They're 5-3 at home, and you know, hey, you got to think, you know, hey, Patterson, who's their best offensive player, he missed, you know, major time. Kyle Pitts has missed major time, and they one great quarterback who's played in Atlanta.
The only decision he's made that I didn't personally like, but I can understand the logic behind it,
was Marcus. Well, Marcus also just had a baby and got hurt. And so that kind of coincided with, well, Marcus isn't playing quarterback next week, and Marcus was like, well, I'm actually leaving because my wife just had a baby.
Right.
So we kind of worked itself out in that, and I don't think, you know, hey, that was offered by anybody involved in that. But the Falcons are 4-12, and Atlanta's done. I think Arthur Smith is going to keep his job. If he gets fired, he's going to be highly ran after.
Yeah, holy crap, absolutely.
Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to be working at Sonic in about
I don't think Cliff Kingsbury will be working at Sonic. I think he'll be an offensive coordinator somewhere.
You said Falcons are 4-12. Falcons are 6-10. Cardinals are 4-12.
Cardinals are 4-12. Sorry.
It's cool.
I'm bad with numbers. Hey, thanks, Dad.
Hey.
I was just looking. I was like, something don't add up here. It's cool.
Yeah. Well,
but
it happens.
Moving along, we also picked the next one, right? Bears at Lions.
Daggone right, we did.
Jared Goff has been the best quarterback in football the past 5 weeks.
I'm going to tell you right now.
14 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they're 4-0. They're 8-8 right now. I told you, Chris, that they would win 9 this year.
Listen, I said 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we believe what nobody else believes.
Yeah.
Look, here's the deal. I've made an argument that Kirk Cousins should be an MVP candidate this year. I stand on that argument. The stats don't lie. I'll tell you who else should be in that conversation. Jared Goff.
Yeah. He's top 6 in every category across the board.
Wow.
He's 6 in yards and 4th in touchdowns and 7th in interceptions with 7. Oh, my God.
His not a great runner. Sixth. Not an amazing athlete.
What does Jared Goff do exceptionally well?
Just a daggone good quarterback.
You can't. Okay, he was number 1 pick.
You know the best the best quarterbacks ever in the league. Tell me what they did exceptionally well.
Like, what do you mean?
You tell me, Tom Brady, what does he do exceptionally well?
He gets rough in the passer calls like nobody I've ever seen.
Shut up, hater. I'm asking, outside of your bias, what does he do exceptionally? I can give you the
answer.
He's
running back in 4-yard flats. He throws the grunt.
But he doesn't do anything exceptionally well.
I'll tell you what. He runs a 2-minute drill like nobody's business.
So he manages games.
Yeah.
And he can make good decisions.
Yeah.
Okay? There's Tom Brady. Whoever your number 2 is, some people's going to say Patrick Mahomes, not a great runner, doesn't have the strongest arm.
He plays the best backyard football.
He just plays good football.
Yeah.
Good football player.
He's with Josh Allen.
Dan Marino, not the best at anything. Just good little accurate passer.
Yeah.
All right.
Breeze.
Not the best at anything.
No.
Just a good game manager that goes out there and does what you asked. It makes good decisions.
Yeah.
Makes good passes. He's really accurate. Maybe not the most accurate. Some people would argue he was.
He is the most accurate.
But some people would argue, you know, differently depending on where he was in his career.
Yeah.
Right?
And Manning, he was just really good at the line of scrimmage.
Manning was really good at reading defenses, but again,
he was spectacular.
Not a great athlete.
Yeah, no. He didn't have a good arm.
So, honestly, 5 or 6, wherever you got him in your top 10 now or ever, none of those guys in the top 10 now or ever is like this exceptional athlete that just does crazy, crazy things.
I think Jared Goff has been a top 10 quarterback this year.
And
that's the thing, though.
And he should be in the MVP conversation. The guys that should be there aren't there.
And, you know, his run game has been a really big catalyst behind that.
Okay.
But he's finally got some wide receivers with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's top 10 in the league. I'll fight you over that. He's got a good kid in DJ Chark on the outside. He's got the Jameson Williams, who's finally coming into his own and had a massive play on Sunday.
Yes.
So he's
– that duo is the
don't
bird.
Ever do that again.
Yes. That's yes, a queen. Bad duo, buddy.
He just needed a queen behind that. He could have summed it up.
Yes.
But, I mean, if you want to talk about wide receivers, man, Justin Fields is a heck of a running quarterback.
Yeah, well, they figured out how to stop him.
132 yards on the ground, 100 yards in the first quarter, 75 yards passing on the day. Hey, 21 attempts. I guess how many, you know, how completions he had? 7. He was 1 of 3 every 3 passes. 1 touchdown and 1 interception. Now, he does have a wide receiver problem.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have got to learn to distribute the ball to who you have.
I blame this on scheme. I think Justin Fields has a good arm, a really good arm.
Oh, he's got a cannon.
Yeah.
There's no doubt
he's
about that.
He's got great legs.
As much as the Chicago has the ammunition to trade back in the draft, if I'm them, just go get that young man some help on the outside.
Here's my problem with Chicago. You know you haven't got grade A elite receivers. So why aren't you playing the spacing game? Why are we not playing the spacing game? Teams like to run zone against us. Why aren't we running option routes off of the hitch?
Yeah.
I know that seems very simple, but most of the passing schemes in NFL are very simple.
Hey, Chase Claypool, he was okay in Pittsburgh. He had a 1,000-yard year. You know what I'm saying? On the kid here, he was a first-round pick by the Patriots, who notoriously picked first-round wide receivers, and you know they've been terrible.
You can't
hey,
tell
Equanimeous
me.
Equanimeous St. Brown, who was Amara's, I think his brother.
Yeah,
he's
oh
not
yeah,
been great, but he's not like he's a certified. Bum.
I like to see him on the line.
They need a number like a Diggs type,
dude. But you don't
Amara St. Brown. Like I feel like,
but
in
you don't
because
Detroit
do.
Doesn't have that.
Amara's top 10, bro.
But he's not top 10 because he's that great. He just finds ways. He's not the fastest. He's not the most amazing route runner. He runs good routes, though. He's not got the best hands in the NFL. He's not super tall, super big, or super fast.
Yeah.
He just plays football.
He also got
football.
100 catches. You know what I'm saying? 1,100 yards.
He plays good football, and he's got a good quarterback distributing the ball.
And I think the coordinator's name is Ben Johnson.
Great guy.
That guy's going to get some head coaching interviews.
Hope he doesn't. For line's sake. But if he does, I hope it's washed.
No. He's going to get some interviews. Now, whether he gets a job is a whole different story, but he's going to get some head coach interviews during the cycle, and I hope he comes to Indy. But anyway.
Shut up.
I'm just saying, man, Lions are 8-8, and they got a big matchup next weekend, boy, with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Who are on the way up.
That man, he's the Undertaker. And just when you think he's down, he kicks open the casket and grabs you by the neck. Who's up next, Chris?
Next up is...
I said Chris. I almost called you Christ.
That's fine. Broncos at Chiefs.
Hey, this was a closer game than what I thought it should have been.
Yeah, it was a 13-point spread, and the Broncos covered the spread by 10 points. He was 24-27. The Russell Wilson, he had one touchdown and one interception. I think his touchdowns have finally passed his interception rate. hey, your future league MVP, Pat Mahomes. Hey, Trey touchdowns on the day. And somehow the Chiefs are winning games, having their leading rusher go for 9 rushes. Oh, my God, and one touchdown. 9 rushes is the leading carrier. How do they win like this?
It's going to be hard in the playoffs to win. Like
Of course it is. But, you know, Kadarius
as much as I love to throw the ball, you have to
at least have to have the threat. Yeah. The idea you can run the ball.
Right.
Because you look at every other team in the AFC. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The Bengals have Joe Mixon who can get you 100. Okay. Josh Allen, honestly, he can kill you by himself. And then with James Cook and Singletary finally coming around, okay, that's something there. Jacksonville's got ETN who has shown he can get you 200 all-purpose any given moment.
Oh, yeah. He's
and the Patriots got to remind Ramondre Stevenson who, trust me, you know what I'm saying, I've seen him play. He can get you 180 on a dime. Like, honestly, you know, they're the only team left who can't run the football at all. At all.
And they still find a way to win.
And they're still beating teams to 13-3. I love Kansas City, man. I love Pat Mahomes so much. And he's a future league MVP. You know, hey, write the bank on that. But Isaiah Pacheco and McKinnon, I hate Jerick McKinnon.
Let me ask you a question.
Hey, 2 rushes, 4 yards, and, you know, hey, 5 catches and 2 touchdowns. Just put him at wide receiver and call it a dang old day. Sweet mother of Jesus, yes.
Can we go back just a second to Tennessee?
Yes.
And let's talk about, just throughout the show, sprinkle it with, is this going to be Tom Brady's new home? I don't think he's going to be in Tampa Bay. Could Tennessee be a landing spot for him? To me, the answer is no, because they don't have any weapons, really, outside of Derrick Henry.
That man's going to be a 49. But, I mean, that's a hell of a weapon to have, because it's Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
I don't think Tom Brady's going to go anywhere but San Francisco. And I'm telling you, that man is going to be a 49er.
Maybe, but I can see him going somewhere else. Keep going.
Yeah, but we're...
Oh, we'll get to him.
Dolphins at Patriots.
Ugh.
Neither one of these two teams.
You don't think he'll go back to the Patriots?
No.
Pride won't let him, bro. Pride won't let him. And I think even if Gronk come back to the Patriots, Pride just won't let Tom do it.
Nah.
And Bill Belichick is profitable, but Tom is worse. Teddy Bridgewater had a long day today. He had a very, as Jason would say it, a Tua-like day.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
12 of 19, you know what I'm saying, one touchdown and one interception. And Mac Jones is finally, he finally threw some touchdown passes, you know what I'm saying? He threw two, and that's twice as good as usual, you know what I'm saying, by Mac Jones' standard. But the Dolphins are not out of the playoffs at 8-8.
They're knocked out. They have a chance. Patriots got to lose, and I thought they was out. No, they have a chance. If the Patriots lose against the Bills.
Sound like Ron Rivera.
If the Patriots lose against the Bills, yeah, we're going to get to that. Except I'm not paying millions of dollars to know that.
Yeah. I'm tired of this AFC playoff picture. Everybody in the AFC is 8-8 at this point. So, I can't figure out who's in and who's out.
It's like that in the NFC now, too, though.
That's fair.
So, if the Patriots lose to the Bills.
Okay.
And they beat, I think, do they play the Jets? Is that who they play?
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
Give me one.
If they beat
second.
The Jets and the Bills beat the Patriots, they go to the playoffs.
Yeah, so they play the Jets at 1 yep. p.m.
So if the they beat
is
the Jets.
The two is already out there for week 18.
Yeah. I'm
going
to
I don't trust Teddy Bridgewater, and I don't know who Skylar Thompson is, though, but I don't trust
him. Do you know why he's out, Brandon? He's I'm going to give you my speculation.
He's got a concussion.
Let me just give you my speculation then. This is purely opinion and not fact. They saw the way he played in the last five games, and they didn't want to have a quarterback controversy going into next year. So you set this guy under a protocol.
Okay.
And when you don't make the playoffs, because you probably weren't going to make it anyways with him losing, at least then you're not going into the offseason with him losing and having to say, you know, and then guys like me being like, are you really going to roll with that again? I mean, he lost you out of the playoffs. So now they get to say if they don't make the playoffs, when they don't beat the Jets, or if the Patriots lose to the Bills, they get to say, well, we didn't make it because our starting quarterback was out.
I mean, you can also argue that they're kind of a bad spot there because, you know, how their defense is by far the worst in the AFC East. Now, Tua has missed his time, and I think that's going to be a problem. Me and Chris touched on this before, where if he keeps having a concussion, dude, his brain is going to be egg soup.
Well, yeah, you got people now. Now you got people saying that the NFL has to come out and make him retire. You can't make a man retire.
You can't force a man to retire.
Look, this is how mad I get when I hear people say, well, they need to make him retire. So then, do they just need to make soldiers not go to war?
Yeah.
There is inherent risk in anything you decide to do that you love. And if a man wants to do it, he should be allowed to do it. He should just sign a waiver that says I can't sue nobody because it's my decision.
Yeah. And that's essentially what they do.
And honestly, if a concussion is my only risk to make $20 million a year,
I'll take it
every day because something's going to kill me.
If losing a limb, if somebody come to me tomorrow in the year 2023 was like, look, at some point this year, you're going to lose a limb. No, but you're going to make $20 million. I'm saying pick one.
Yeah. If they come to you tomorrow in 2022, we're going to have problems anyway.
And look, let's just be real. The science on this isn't what people say it is either. We won't get too deep into that, but there is not. It's not what they say it is.
Oh, sounds familiar.
They're making a lot of assumptions. And listen, when science starts making assumptions, it's like carbon dating. We won't get into it. Scares me.
Tua's missed a bunch of games of this year.
He should be carbon dated. His
career
is carbon dated.
Touchdowns and QBR, and he's top 11 in interceptions. So he's had a pretty good year. Like I predicted, he's going to put them in a spot where they're forced to pay him regardless.
He put them in a spot where he dropped five of his last five,
and he was hurt through all five.
Oh, my God.
I mean, was he not?
Baker Mayfield was hurt and played a whole season, and nobody cut him any slack.
Hey, in my defense, I did. I said he should have never been
no
cut.
No excuses.
Fair is fair.
No excuses.
Patriots 8-8, Dolphins 8-8, and somebody going to the house next weekend.
Hey, just like Tua's on his way out, we, too, are going to take a quick break. Thank you, Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment, for sponsoring this hour of Third Nate here on Next Door Radio at nextdoorradio.com. When we get back, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about a couple more teams as possible landing spots for Tom Brady. We're also going to address the elephant in the room with two or three teams.
We'll get back. Y'all mad at Giannis though because he stayed home and won the title to Milwaukee. Then y'all was praising LeBron James though for going across town to Miami to win the title in 2010, going back to back with Boston. Wade.
No need to rush. There's plenty more show left. Let's get back to it.
Hey guys, welcome back here to Throwing an 8 on Next Radio, nextradio.com. I guess coming up next, we got to talk about the Indianapolis Colts losing by 28. Thank God.
That'd be the
Thank
one.
You, Jeff Saturday, that we brought him in the tank. And boy, we're Hey, blitzkrieging through the rest of NFL season right now. I thought I saw Nick Foles die yesterday, and it was a disturbing occurrence. But what bothered me more is that the young man who sacked him, Kayvon, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, Jason. If you want to bid in on that, mm-hmm. that'd be great.
Nope. I'm going to watch
it's
you
like flat. That long in French. I'm not fighting. I know my limits, Mike Tyson style. But
swing away.
No, hang low, sweet chariot. No thanks. I thought he killed Nick Foles, and he done a snow angel beside him. And then he gets, now, that's fine. Because sometimes doing football, you really don't, like, you're aware on what just happened, right? I'm cool with that. Like, I get the celebration behind it. Sacks are a hard thing to come by, though, if you get one celebrated. But he went to the sidelines and did the Steph Curry night-night. You knew he was hurt. And that ain't even the worst part. He gets home and makes a TikTok about knocking somebody out in a football game and does the voiceover. Man, at what point do you just be an about it? Sorry, Chris Parker, 125.
Here's the deal. Did he do it directly to the player?
He was hitting Nick Foles with his arms as he was doing the snow angel as Nick Foles laid there.
But did he do it while looking at the player?
I think he did night-night, yeah.
No, on the field.
I mean, what are you saying?
Did he look at the player and direct his taunt while on the field?
I mean, he laid down and did the snow angel beside him.
But did he look at him while he did it?
It's hard to do that. You're looking up.
I'm just asking, did he look at him?
Apparently not.
No penalty.
Oh, don't worry. He didn't get one.
That's what I'm saying. Like
Jeff, and honestly, though, Jeff Saturday made a wonderful point. If you play offensive line, he can't get up all willy-nilly and walk off the field like that.
That's my only disappointment that's with Jeff Saturday. Said,
and this is something else too, that kind of, you know, as a Colts fan, I want to speak on. Our culture right now is god-awful. You know what I'm saying? You play quarterback, and I played a little bit of O-line. Like,
receiver, DB, yep.
If your quarterback gets hit like that and then taunted, as a lineman, you got to stop it. I mean, if you can't stop it, at least, you know, hey, do the whole, hey, NBA thing and get chest to chest and yell at somebody, fake stop it, do some good clean, do something.
Yeah.
And they did nothing but sit there. And that's what those guys have done since week 1 of the NFL season. Sit there and allow their quarterbacks to get killed. That's what they've done to Matt Ryan. It's what they've done to Nick Foles. It's what they've done to Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, offensive line is so bad. It's the highest paid offensive line in the league. Sorry, Chris.
This goes back to the day when I was still pretending like I could play. Not that I ever could, but when I was really delusional and in my
really delusional
young 20s just back from Iraq, and I was playing for the Thomasville Titans. And I took sack. And I remember what my old lineman did. He was in the face of the guy who did it.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And they were like semi-pro. They don't make millions of dollars. None of us getting paid. Right, you know? So, it is disappointing. And the fact that Jeff Saturday is the offensive line coach, played O-line.
Hall of Fame level.
Like, that's the only disappointment.
That's the part that bothers me, though, because I can get down, though, with a celebration. And I can get down with trash talking, especially, you know what I'm saying, though, when your raw dog was about 28. But it's the offensive line who I got beef with, though. And I've had beef over these guys, though, since week 1 because they have done nothing all year long. I'm really disappointed in our group. I'm disappointed in Ryan Kelly. I'm disappointed in Quentin Usher. I'm disappointed in Braden Smith. I'm disappointed in Dennis Kelly, Austin Reinman, anybody else who you want to throw in there who's played the offensive line in this smorgasbord of for the past 17. I'm sorry, Chris. I just hate the Colts so bad. Daniel Jones scored on us yesterday. If he could have returned a punt on us, I believe he'd have broke it off. 91 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, they're 19-24 and 2 more touchdowns. The only good thing that come out of this game for us, actually, was 2. I had Daniel Jones in the fantasy football playoff championship game. Scored me close to 40. The shout out to you, the former Duke of Love.
Thank you, Duke of Love.
And the Colts lost, and that's how we needed to keep going. But Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones are going to get, you know, a multi-year contract extension is the word out of New York. How do you feel about Daniel Jones? I feel like he's done enough this year. I'm not saying to give the man 5 years, you know, hey, $200 million.
Why not? It's only $40
million.
Hey, 15
touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Now, that was his biggest knock, is that he turns the ball over too much. He's threw 5 interceptions.
Funny
this year,
what happens when you get an offensive coordinator.
Who knows what he's
doing?
And
an offensive minded coach and a good quarterback director.
And I'm trying to see how many rushing yards
he's
had this year.
I think he had, on that game, he had what, 97? And 177
700
passes?
Yards rushing and 7 touchdowns on the year. If your number 2 running back does that, you're ecstatic. If your number 1 running back gets you 7, you're like, great season. Daniel Jones.
How many yards he passed this year?
3,205.
Okay, pause.
Hey, 3,200 yards. Hey, 4,000 yards, all-purpose yards, 5 interceptions,
and
22 touchdowns.
That's better
with
than Jalen Hurts. Why ain't he in the MVP conversation?
He's he should at least be most improved player conversation. Why?
But wait a minute, though. If Jalen Hurts is in the MVP conversation with 3,300 yards passing, you can look him up, I think 3,300, 3,400 yards passing, and 700, 800 yards rushing, why is it Jones?
I don't make the rules. I'm just
asking.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, I understand the beef behind it, but I get that.
But if you was to say that right now, and if we was to release this show, and I was to say Daniel Jones is as good as Jalen Hurts and should be in the MVP conversation.
Oh, you would get
you and
I'm
Cody
sorry, Chris, I had a rough segment.
And Mark and all of our fellow 3rd and 8 guys who like to jump in and talk, they'd be like, "You're crazy. You're crazy." Why? That's what the numbers say.
I mean, he's led in the not. I mean, he's not touching.
Are
Pat
they
Mahomes
not both going?
Touchdowns.
Are they not both going to the playoffs?
Everybody in y'all's division.
Does Daniel Jones have anywhere near the weapons that Jalen Hurts has?
Well, I mean, that's what I just pulled up here. His leading wide receivers have been Saquon Barkley with 76. If your running back's ever your first leading receiver, that's a bad sign. Next up is Darius Slayton and Richie James and some fella by the name of Isaiah Hodgins.
This man
has had to work with the most odd cast of receivers in football history, I believe.
Why ain't he in the MVP conversation?
I mean, he's had 22 all-purpose touchdowns and 4,000 all-purpose yards this year. Daniel Jones has got to be a most improved player. I definitely think at this point he's deserved this contract.
What is this most improved player?
That's an award,
When Lamar Jackson threw for 3,500, whatever it was, yards, 3,000 yards, I think, and ran for 1,000, they gave him an MVP. Oh, he's changing the league. Oh, he's doing this. He's doing that. And he had more weapons then than what Daniel Jones has now. Why?
There's more weapons in this room than what Daniel Jones got.
Yeah.
And that's just because I got gas.
Why is Daniel Jones not in the MVP conversation?
Once again, I don't make the rules.
I know. I'm asking, why aren't you calling for it? This is the problem I have with you and with other people on our Facebook page. Yeah. Y'all want to talk like you know something, and you want to do what everybody else in the media, because y'all want you, of all people, libertarian over here, hate the system, don't believe anybody.
I don't.
And then he's talking about, don't listen to the news. But did he just, you repeat what they say on the ESPN.
Yeah, but is it better than Jared Goff right now? No.
I don't
think
so. Golf
beat him in every category.
I mean,
is it better than Pat Mahomes?
Golf don't beat him in every category because golf ain't run for 700 yards.
That's fair, but all-purpose touchdown yards.
But as a quarterback, do I think golf is better? Absolutely.
Yeah, but like, he's got such a hill to climb for MVP.
But you won't have
but
you know.
He's got to beat out Allen, Mahomes, Burrow,
you won't let that argument pass when it's Lamar. Why are you letting it pass now?
Because the season that, you know what I'm saying, Lamar won, he done something nobody had ever done before. He set a record with passing and rushing yards. I'm not saying Daniel Jones hadn't had a phenomenal year. I just touched on that. And he deserves every bit of the extension.
I hope
doesn't just give him a crazy one.
So, excuse me. If Daniel Jones ends up with the same amount of all-purpose yards,
I hope
Lamar,
he goes for 300 yards rushing on Sunday.
It'd
be fantastic.
No, the same amount, whether it's passing or rushing combined. If he ends up with the same amount of yards, of all-purpose yards, as Lamar Jackson, do you say he needs to be MVP?
He's still going to beat out Pat Mahomes. He can't do that.
Did Lamar Jackson's numbers beat out Pat Mahomes' numbers?
There was Pat Mahomes his...
Yeah. Aren't they the same age? Aren't they the same age?
Yeah, but they come in at two different times, I believe. I could be wrong on that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Because there was quarterbacks that year that threw for more yards than his combined total.
Yeah, but that 1,000 yards rushing kind of played a big part in that.
I'm just asking, why ain't it
playing
here?
Actually, it wasn't even 1,000 yards rushing. It was 1,200 yards rushing, which is asinine.
Just asking.
And he had the best offense in football that year. Jason got a phone call. It's probably Lamar Jackson calling to talk Johnson. And he was 14-2. At some point, the Rutgers got to play a part in MVP.
Yes, Lamar. Yeah, I'm asking it right now about Daniel Jones.
He's so stupid.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just saying. Hey, man. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I've brought this argument up before against Lamar, and you argue with me until you're red in the face.
Okay. The year he won MVP, he led the whole league in touchdown passes that were 36. So he led the league in touchdown passes and had 1,200 yards on the ground, and that's never been done. And he only lost twice that year. You cannot compare those two seasons. Now, 14-2 to at best 10-6.
Wow, that's
hey, 15
team records
to 36.
Team record.
1,200 yards to 700. That's 500 yards rushing. Doubled his touchdown passes, plus six.
More
that's
weapons, better offensive line. Nothing.
Who was his leading receiver that year? Because Lamar's never had a number one wide receiver.
Marquise.
He's never had a good one.
Marquise Brown?
That boy couldn't even catch 25 yards.
If Marquise Brown was on the Giants,
he'd be hurt.
They'd be,
just like he is every other week.
A better receiver. He'd be better than anybody they got.
That's true, but he'd also be hurt the way he is every other week of the year.
I'm just saying.
Small side note. Brandon picked the Dolphins to win, so he's down a point. And then, Jason, you picked the Colts to win this one, so you are down a point.
Thanks, Jeff Saturday.
No, seriously, I appreciate you, Jeff Saturday. You know what I'm saying? We need this number three pick, and I'm telling you, real quick, I want CJ Stroud out of Ohio State.
Why?
That man played his
butt off
the
other night. He's another Tua, 5-yard slant pass only. Here we go. I'm not a Tua hater. I just call it how it is. Stroud is another Tua.
He made some ridiculous throws in that the college football playoff game. We got to touch on that in the third segment, too. Who's up next, Chris? Because we all missed this
game.
Oh,
I know who's up. We all missed it.
Oh, we missed it hard.
The Eagles and Saints. Eagles. Yeah. Saints, man, are 79 and not in the playoff country. But if the Saints had any kind of run game out of Alvin Kamara this year, these guys and any wide receiver of note, these guys, that would actually be okay.
Yeah, their defense is good.
Their defense is phenomenal. Gardner Minshew, who I also started in the fantasy playoff game, he just threw a dud up. And if it weren't for A.J. Brown, has somehow just double moving off a corner and being wide open, he wouldn't have threw a touchdown on the day. How do you feel
and
about
– And yet he threw all those touchdowns against Dallas.
He just went crazy against that defense. How do you
and
feel
they're supposed
about
to be a top three.
Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson, like, both being hurt, you know, hey, going into the preseason. Now, this is where I think the Eagles, you know, hey, may have a dilemma come Sunday. The Giants win or lose, you know, their spot in the playoffs is already clinched. It kind of doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, if they lose again,
they don't have
the
number
Vikings
one seed.
Win, or the 49ers win, yeah. They lose the number one seed. They have to win this football game. Now, and most importantly, Jalen Hurts cannot take 4 weeks off.
So if the Vikings win, they don't. If the 49ers win, they do. The Vikings, it will be a tie, and the Eagles beat them head-to-head.
Okay, fair enough. But either way, you can't leave that up to chance.
No.
You know, honestly, you got to handle business. And I think with Jalen Hurts, I feel like he's kind of a rhythm quarterback, and all of them are, you know what I'm saying, to some degree. He's missed, you know, had these past, you know, a couple games. If he misses a third game and they win and they're off week, he hadn't played ball in a month.
It don't matter.
You got to play him Sunday. You got to play him a full game Sunday, in my opinion.
I don't think so. Look, honestly.
And you got to do something about that defense.
I don't hate Jalen Hurts. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't know that he's MVP, but he's a good quarterback.
No, that's Pat, but go ahead.
Jalen Hurts, though, isn't necessarily – they don't run a West Coast offense over in Philly. They run of, I'm going to chuck it over here to A.J. Brown, and I'm going to chuck it to Devontae Smith, and then I'm going to hand the ball off. And then when all of that's played out because they double and man me, I'm going to run the ball up the middle because there's only five defenders, and I got five blockers, so it's man-on-man blocking.
It ain't none of them catching me one-on-one.
Right.
Up. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
and I squat 600 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think it's a rhythm thing.
And every
thing
time they bring it up, I'm like, that is a small – like, he's your size.
Yeah, he ain't
squat
big.
Squat 600. It's wild, boy.
So – that's why I think you can rest him. I don't think he's going to come in. It ain't nothing he can't knock the rust off in a series or two because, again, they run a vertical stretch offense there.
Yeah.
That's what they run.
Sirianni's, I mean, his favorite is kind of what he done in Indianapolis, though, when he was there. I still miss him.
They run the offense. Look, they run the offense that Scott Turner wants to run. It's just they call it a heck of a lot better.
They can't call it worse.
Yeah,
but
so,
props to the Saints, man, going 2010, you know what I'm saying, beating them at the crib.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks for us because we all picked the Eagles because, well, the Saints were not looking great. You know,
it's okay. I don't mind missing that. If the Eagles lost, I would have been happy either way.
But that pass defense, that Andy Dalton was 18-22. Y'all better get that fixed because if Andy Dalton's shredding your boy, that's not good for playoff time. Who's up next?
That's one that surprised me. Andy Dalton passing against them so
18-22.
Brandon picked the Buccaneers. Jason, you and I picked the Panthers. We lost. Brandon won. Like the Bucks. Carry on.
I knew better.
Hey, 400 yards and three touchdowns. Now, if you're the Panthers, Sam Darnold was not your problem. He had 341 yards and three touchdowns. If you're going to blame anybody, they'll blame that run game. He had 74 yards on the day and no touchdowns. I feel like Sam Darnold is probably not the answer at quarterback next year for Carolina, you know, having them have a top 10 pick and all that.
Who's better than him coming out of the draft?
That's not about to touch on the past couple of games. Sam Darnold is almost why they won.
Yeah.
And he has a connection with DJ Moore, which no other quarterback has had. Like DJ Moore, you know, 117 yards on a touchdown on the day. He has a rapport. Now, for whatever reason, though, with Sam Darnold, we can't figure it out. It wasn't Robbie Anderson who, like, you know who played with Darnold in
Early on,
the Jets. It's DJ Moore. And somehow they have worked it out. You almost can't like not play Darnold next year.
I don't know why you would want to waste money on a quarterback this year, and there's not that many great ones in the draft. It's not a great quarterback draft, in my opinion.
It sucks, though. I'm not in love with it.
And
it's just not.
You have some other talent. You have other needs and other talent in that in this draft that you can pick up, and you've got a serviceable quarterback. So that was Sarah, the ghost that we have.
Hey,
in
did
the
you just send me something?
I did.
Okay, I was like, "What that is?"
That's an interesting sound.
That's what I get for betting against Tom Brady, though.
All right. So next up, we all picked the Commanders.
We all lost.
Browns at Commanders, and then somebody, please. What is this?
Okay.
Let's talk.
Hey,
let's
please take
ahead.
That picture down to me. That's my senior portrait. That's me if I was a mascot.
Let's talk about this.
Major Tutty. How you going to call yourself Tutty?
We're
going to
talk about
the
all the problems in Washington.
They straight up
over
took
with.
This away from the Piggly Wiggly. But go
now,
ahead.
This so, right here, have this mascot, I'm not upset about necessarily, okay? The hog.
Why?
Now, look, the hog I'm not upset about. We, historically, we've been the hogs. I understand the fan base's love for the hogs. And I do think that this was a lot of fan pressure because early on they introduced a service dog, that Commando, I think was his name. Uh-huh. I thought
that's a terrible name. He ain't got no drawers on.
Honestly, I thought they would have went with the like a service dog as their full fledged mascot, and we could have called him Major, could have called him Sarge. It would have fit the thing. It would have been cool. It would have been calm. You could raise money. When they come out with the hogs, I felt like they were caving to some throwback fans that just can't let yesterday go. But that's fine. I'm not even upset about the hog. The hat's funny. It's cool. The hog's kind of funny. It's cute. I was reading on Twitter some of the responses about it. Even if you called him Major or Sarge, all of that's funny. Major Bacon would have been even funnier. I don't care.
Crispy Bacon.
Yeah, Crispy
that would have
Bacon.
Been the ticket.
That would have been hilarious.
Yes, sir.
But you had to
oh,
go
no
in.
Oh, no ding on that? Oh, my God.
I was headed that route, and okay. Then I got lost on another
But song. You would have had.
Hey, I'll still take it late.
Right. Your end-of decision, your end-of-day decision, GM, Jason, who that's the only thing we share in common. Your decision was to go with Major Tutty? Buddy, you...
they had 3 years in essence to come up with. They could have sent the Indian back out and been better. Let me be real with you. This is horrible. What the hell are his hands doing? They don't look like human hands.
Well, they're
and
not.
They don't,
they're
and they, don't look, they don't even look like hooves. Hooves are split in half. Am I correct?
Yeah.
What is that? What is
look,
that?
Listen, again,
it's a mistake.
I'm
okay?
Not.
Those sausage links.
I'm not against.
I'm against all this, and I'm not even a fan. The Colts mascot is just as terrible, but Jesus Christ, we don't flaunt it at halftime.
Yeah, but I'm honestly not upset with the mascot look. I get it. They probably tested it. It's fine. I don't think it's a horrible mascot. It's cute. It's funny, all that. But when you combine that with the name, if you would have just said Major, that's funny. That's
hey,
cool.
Is every mascot 00, by the way? Because I feel like if not, that's going to be a problem for us, too.
Bro, I feel like on the list of worries, that's bottom 32.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be real with you. I don't feel like that makes any difference with what's going on here.
If you'd have called him General, Sarge, Major, Colonel, whatever, all that funny, that would have been fine. The fact you had to add the second part killed it for me, though. Major,
especially when you score one touchdown on a day. I will say this.
We're majorly in need of a
tutty.
Hey, we threw a touchdown to the Browns, but go ahead.
Y'all have done some very strange things at halftime over the course of this season, and none of them have been good at all. It was Deshaun Taylor display to a Pat Mahomes brother. Now put that back up there. I'm not done.
Oh, God.
Pat Mahomes' brother dancing at the Sean Taylor Memorial. That terrible statue of Sean Taylor. And then this. You guys should – look, I'm not even picking on y'all. I'm saying never do anything at halftime.
We're just doing like, halftime. Look, in all honesty, because I want to be fair – the helmet, that's cool to me. I like the helmet.
I get my own helmet.
And I'm not
that's
even
like
mad
a military
about,
World War One helmet.
I'm not even mad about the pig. I get the hog throwback. If only we had an offensive line that was,
was worthy.
Worthy of the freaking name. Like, you could have had Brandon
so biggest...
Sheriff, and you got rid of him and still want to go back to this?
Yeah, it's true. I wish your biggest beef were that. We just go around the table with the biggest
the
beef.
Well, it's not my biggest beef. I mean, it's
it's the biggest pork.
Your big, yeah, yeah, fair
eat
enough.
More eat more cow. I that's going to be a new ad right
eat
there.
More pig.
God. Eat more chicken.
Jesus. So, I don't know. I think the whole thing is just a mistake. Major Tutty just seems like a three-year-old came up with this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Chris. I think if the name was different, would you be all right with the mascot?
I'd be better with it. Yeah. I think that's
where I'm at.
I think double zero is probably a bit of an issue, too, just considering. It'll be our record. And
it really comes down to the name for me. I just don't understand.
If you woke up at 3 a.m. and that pig was standing in your doorway, you would shit yourself.
Yes,
you
would.
That's what I got issues with. It's the look on his face.
I'm going to hate you, little boy.
That pig that looks like he stole something out of your dresser and you don't know about it.
It does kind of look like what was that movie?
Could you imagine him having like a
deliverance?
Could you imagine him having like an accent, like a deliverance accent, and be like,
he's rubbing your three fingers together.
It's horrible.
It's so bad.
I go back to the Dukes of Hazzard. There's been some memes about this Boss Hog. I'm all right with that. If you'd have named him Boss Hog, I'd have been all right with that.
Still couldn't have had that face on it, but you could have named it Boss Hog and at least solved 33% of your problem. He does. Minus the hooves and face.
He does kind of look like he walked out going, hey, hey, hey.
It's like the longer I look at it, it's like the more disturbing his phalanges.
Barney is a pig.
Yeah.
The fingers bother
the
me.
The mouth
man.
Really is. You're not lying. That is Barney.
I love you.
Yo, we need a side by side comparison.
Y'all need to get that mug clean in at halftime. See, clean up. He gonna go around the office when y'all fire Ron Revere singing that song. Yeah. Clean up. Because that's coming. Ron getting fired.
I'm on board with the new uniforms. Love them.
Yeah.
I don't mind those. Those are great.
I'm on board with the new name. I've grown to love it. I think it's cool.
Still shouldn't have catered to peer pressure, but go ahead.
But yeah, I agree. I would have loved to still be in the Redskins. I think it was stupid for us to change our name. But now that we did it, I'm cool with it.
Now, hold on. You can't say we can't cave to peer pressure on that and then tell me after what happened on Sunday.
Right.
That we shouldn't cave to peer pressure on occasion.
I agree to that.
Yeah, we seen the cave at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Now, real briefly.
Go ahead.
You want to talk about a Tua-esque day.
Hey, much like that pig at halftime, Carson Wentz's performance was a disaster. And for the second year in a row, this show was knocked out of the playoffs by Carson Wentz. Three touchdowns, 143 yards, 16 to 28, and he took a dump right in the middle of the field because that's basically what happened.
I'm going to say this, you
hate in your heart, let it out.
Yeah, you can make me eat these words forever. But if I had to choose right now,
Hey, can you go ahead and make sure that record button is on?
You got it.
Between Tua Tagovailoa with a concussion and his hands doing what it was doing after that first one, and Carson Wentz,
Tua with the pig's
hands.
Take
Tua with Major Tutty's hands. You know, that's what they did. They were mocking Tua.
A little smirk and everything.
Me Tua. Honestly, dude, first off, I didn't understand why you benched Heinicke last week. Other than if you'd have went with the story, look, our line isn't playing well. He was getting beat up. It was a safety issue for Heine. We need him for playoff contention. I would have understood. But then to start Carson Wentz over him. This is a shout-out to all the stupid Washington fans who go on there talking about Taylor Enton, the great quarterback. Shut your freaking mouth. Ooh. Shut your freaking mouth.
He started letting that fly.
Yeah,
he
did. Two. I was about back at basketball practice. Two. For all members of the coaching staff.
You're fired.
Who come out and said, it's a new Carson. The quarterback's coach, if he ain't let go before tomorrow because it's a holiday. So on tomorrow, if he ain't let go, dude, everybody's got to be fired. It's a new Carson Wentz. I'm excited to see.
Hold on. They can't be responsible to not recognize it wasn't a new Carson Wentz when they couldn't recognize it was the end of our playoffs.
Yeah, dude. You single-handedly coaching staff ruined our chances. And I'm normally very lenient.
And then went, say what now?
Yeah. And then had the audacity to be like, what do you mean we're out of playoff contention?
All right. Hey, can I cut Ron some slack on that one?
No, because I know what you're going to – if you're going to say, well, you know, as a head coach, he's always worried about winning, winning, winning. Yeah. He can't worry about what if –
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Your job is to know what is.
Your game. Your job is to game manage.
Exactly.
Both of them.
If your goal is to get into the playoffs, you have to have a what if.
You tell me the difference of knowing where you stand on a must win or not must win games, and the difference between knowing when to call a timeout, when not to, knowing when to go for the field goal and when not to, knowing when to take a risk on a fourth down and when not to. Your freaking job as a head coach is to make the what if decisions and to have an answer for the what if situations. You don't have to always be right, but you have never believed in Taylor Heinicke, Ron. You've never believed in him. You've never supported that kid. Not really.
And honestly, though, to his own detriment.
Yeah.
Because I think that decision Sunday is why Ron's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere.
Out of all the wrong things that the Commanders have done this season, the fans rally behind one thing, Taylor. Even some people didn't like the jersey. Some people didn't like the name. Some people definitely don't like Major Tutty. But for the most part, unless they're clinically insane, everybody can appreciate the effort, moxie, passion, drive that Taylor Heinicke brings to the Washington Commanders.
Yeah. Well, and I think at the sideline, Carson Wentz was apparently a really good teammate.
Yeah, be a coach.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he doesn't.
Hey, I can't play at that level. I can't play at most levels. So I coach those who can do and those who can't teach.
Hey, look, that's one of my favorite sayings. Those who can't do, teach.
I can't do it no more. Yeah. I couldn't really ever do it. So I'm coaching because I love the game and I know I have it mentally. It's the physical ability that's never been there. Carson, it's time.
Hey, I'm with you.
It's time, bro. Hey, but you know what? I hope we get a new coach. Hey, look, there's a lot of things that could change. Honestly, for Taylor, they're never going to appreciate him here. I hope he goes somewhere they'll let him play. I hope he goes somewhere they'll let him play.
I agree.
I hope he stays
with us, and I hope we get a new coach who lets him.
But. Yeah. Or, hey, no, I'm going to be real. Now, I'm a straight shooter as they come. If Derek Carr's on the market and we don't make a play for
there's
that Joker,
no if Derek Carr.
We
Derek
are.
Carr,
well,
Derek Carr on
if
the
he's
market.
There when we have a chance to make a play for him and we don't make a play for him, we're stupid. And if Derek Carr That's comes fair. To the Washington Commanders, I understand Taylor being his backup. I understand that. But outside of Derek Carr and maybe Tom Brady, if he goes to the open market, and an Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson might be coming up.
No. I will take Taylor.
Tua
I'll
might
take
be coming
Carson
up.
Wentz.
Dude, if Tua comes up, I'll keep Taylor. God. There's not a single Brady, Carr, Jared Goff, if they don't pay him. That's really about the only people I would want over Taylor. That's coming up. Lamar, obviously, if they don't pay Lamar. But, dude, there's not many that I would take.
Fair enough.
Dude, all right. I'm just done with the Commanders. Well, obviously, we're done for the year.
Yeah. Well, speaking of done, let's go ahead and take a break. So we'd like to give this song as a shout-out to the Commanders coaching staff. Go ahead, Jay.
Thank you, Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment, for sponsoring this hour. Third Nate Hill, Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. Ron, I know when to run, buddy. Count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
Hey guys, welcome right here to 3rd and 8 on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. This is something I would never thought I would say to start a segment at any point in this show. The Jacksonville Jaguars win next weekend, and they're in the playoffs 8-8 after a thrashing of the Houston Texans by 28 points. Houston Texans doing what Houston Texans have done all year long and lost to 2-13. Jacksonville going to 8-8 and have a shot to make the playoffs. I'm cheering though for Trevor Lawrence, man. I hope that these boys, you know, have raised a little bit of cane in the playoffs. And
me too.
Hope that they just don't get there and
I hope they make it all the way.
I would enjoy Jacksonville at being a prominent franchise.
Yeah.
As strange as that sounds to say out loud as a Colts fan,
they have
I
a
like
chance.
Jacksonville's their it factor with, you know, hey, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and first year head coach Doug Peterson knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. I just heard the
okay, yeah. It slipped. I guess it happened.
Yeah. He don't
been
like
there.
Trevor.
I know he hates him.
You get both.
But anyway, who's up next? Ooh, this is one that I really want to talk about right
so
here.
So you're
boy.
Good with Jaguars Texans, right? We're moving on.
Yeah, nothing
it.
Happened.
Right.
Jacksonville.
We got that right, right?
Yeah.
We did. We all picked Jaguars. 49ers, Raiders.
Ooh.
We all picked 49ers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But, man.
Good game.
Brock Purdy. Had
I
284
like
yards and two touchdowns. That boy got some cojones to him that seem a little bit unnatural. Comes into the game, he just settles them down. You don't feel like that Brock Purdy's gonna ever make that big, huge, you know, colossal, the Carson Wentz like mistake, for lack of a better term. But that's not even the big story, you know. Hey, out of this game is the odd kind of benching of Derek Carr, early in the week by Josh that I didn't understand. Now, if you kind of look deeper into it, you kind of get it. His backup quarterback on the Patriots was who?
Yes.
Jared Stidham.
I get it.
Who he brought over to Vegas, you know, hey, with him.
I get it.
If you don't think Derek Carr is a competent quarterback, you should stop watching football, and I don't know what to tell you. I think anybody in this room that right now, if they woke up August 1st and Derek Carr was on Washington's roster or Indianapolis roster, we'd be thrilled. Derek Carr, his defenses have been 29 or worse.
Top 10 quarterback.
Since he has been in Vegas. And I made this joke several times on the show. Every Sunday, at God knows the what time of the day, he's down by 5 and leading the game when he drives somewhere. He has the most like fourth quarter comebacks the past 5 years.
I'd also like to thank you, by the way, because my son now will not refer to him to anything other than the Oakland Raiders.
You're welcome.
Although he has never known them as such.
I do what I can.
He said it the other day, and I was like, that's not who they are.
They're Vegas.
Hey, they'll always be the Vegas Raiders. I mean, the Oakland Raiders to me. But Jared had himself a day. Three touchdowns, you know, on the day. But I just don't understand the curious benching of Derek Carr.
It sounds
like a children's novel.
Look, I think what he's saying is he's got a quarterback that knows his system.
Yeah.
That he is more comfortable in his decision.
Do you got Jared Stidham stat line in front of you?
And what else I think he's saying is that he doesn't want a quarterback there that has the persona to exert his willpower.
That's fair.
Everybody's going to have to come back to Josh as the head coach now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
And he understands he's going to get good trade value.
Oh, he's going to get phenomenal trade value for Derek Carr.
So, and there's some teams that would be stupid not to go after Derek Carr.
I think it would be several.
Oh.
Several.
Yes.
Two of them are
Texans.
Texans.
Washington.
Washington. Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Carolina.
Carolina, absolutely. Hey, here's one. Denver.
At this point, you'd almost love to have Derek Carr, but
he kind of looks like Derek Carr
and Jim Harbaugh.
Jared Stidham.
Yeah. You were asking about his stat line. Do you want just for the last game season or
no last game?
Okay, last game. So he was 23 for 34, 365 yards. Let's see here, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions,
and that's against arguably the best defense in football.
Mm-hmm.
They're arguably the best defense in football and scored, 10 in the fourth quarter. So, while we don't understand it, are we already quick to say Josh was right or Josh was wrong? Because if you look at just the one game.
It was right for them.
That's a very fair way to put that. Where it's like, I don't understand it, but hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
And that seemed to work for them on Sunday because they had a heck of a football game.
Here's the bad part about it, because I think there's ancillary setbacks with this decision.
Hey,
I don't think.
Hey, Devontae Adams.
He's not going to be there.
Who, Adams? 95 catches and 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns.
He does not want to be in the Raiders.
And they said that he's had a bad season.
He don't want to be in the Raider no more.
I can see
if,
that.
If Carr leaves.
Oh, if Carr leaves, Derek. Yeah. He's going to check
the
out.
The only reason Devontae came
was
there
was because Derek Carr. 100%. Oh, package them up, baby.
Now here's the deal.
Pepper.
Now, you think about this.
Package them up.
If Green Bay was to move off of Aaron Rodgers, and people would laugh at them if they did that. But
at this point, I feel like they have to.
Move off of him. Let him go to Denver, right, or somewhere else. And then they get back.
Derek Carr
and Devontae Adams.
Hey, kudos to LeBron or whatever his name is who runs the Packers. Props to you, brother, because that'd be phenomenal.
But
Josh McDaniels, Aaron
I can
Rogers
tell
well.
You another
that.
Team that would be worth that trade duo, and I would give up whatever they asked for him, including Terry McLaurin. You give me Derek Carr and Devontae Adams.
First of all,
in
I feel
Washington.
Like if you give anybody Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, it completely changes the entire narrative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That franchise.
But now I'd love to be able to keep McLaurin. I'd give him every pick we have for the next 3 years for him.
Ooh, that's a hefty price tag though. But you
pay him.
Go with it.
Devontae Adams and Derek Carr.
I said it 8 weeks ago.
So you would have Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuels. Then you'd have Robinson in the backfield, Gibson in the backfield, McKissick in the backfield, and Derek Carr in the center with Taylor Heineke backing him up.
Hey, pinch yourself. You're dreaming.
Oh, my God.
No, but I understand why that can get you happy as well.
God. I feel like a spark of hope, but it's gone now.
Hear me out on this.
You brought me back to reality.
Now, hear me out on this. I think another team who needs to kind of, you know, maybe watch fly this is the Jets. They've got everything needed except a franchise quarterback. If you give them Derek Carr, they may be cooking, you know what I'm saying, with fish grease.
Yes.
Talking about.
But if Derek Carr goes there, it won't do anything for the next thing I'd like to bring up, because the Jets is the second team that I could see Tom Brady going to. And if Tom Brady goes to the daggone Jets, we will have to, you will have to eat your words. And so will everybody else who put up that stupid meme. If he really was the greatest quarterback, he'd take the Jets to win the Super Bowl.
If Tom Brady goes 3 for 3, he'd go, and I'll never bring it up again.
If this happens, if the Jets pick him up.
Although, I will say.
You are done, bro, because you can't tell me with him, Bryce Hall, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and that defense.
Hey, real quick. Now, San Fran is 4-4. San Fran is now 12-4. You don't want to see them in the playoffs, especially. You know, you're definitely not going to see
them
next year with Tom Brady there.
But they would be stupid to move off Brock Purdy.
I 100% agree. Now, but Trey Lance is going somewhere, and so is Jimmy G. I feel like, too, that would be the most Tom Brady of all time, is to go to the Jets as soon as they learn how to like build a franchise and win.
And win.
I feel like the Jets have figured out how to be competent. Brady's like, they figured it out. I'm going to go right over there now. I think it would be beautiful, like, in the fact he could stick it, you know what I'm saying, to Bill Belichick twice a year.
Dude, if he goes to the Jets.
It would be hilarious.
I would.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Honestly, I think Brady
I'm buying some jerseys.
Cold.
Because you know they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Hey, by the time that Jason's done buying jerseys, he's going to have a collection of everybody.
Hey, hey, I like the Lions for the coach. I like Minnesota for a couple of receivers and a quarterback. I love Washington. And
hey, how did we pick this game, by the way?
Excuse me. We picked this as, let's see,
I think I picked the Jets.
No, you picked Seahawks. Jason, I picked the Jets.
Yes, sweet. I pulled this one off.
Of course we did.
Hey, Geno Smith,
you've
183 yards.
You caught me this week.
Oh, yeah. I have the final stats for the week.
Yeah.
183 yards and 2 touchdowns on the day. I know I've asked this before, man, but what do you do with Geno Smith if you pick top 5 and the quarterback is there?
You leave him
what
alone.
What do you do with Geno Smith?
You leave him alone. You get other things to help make him better. Add to your defense. Add to your O-line. Definitely. Add to your
– Geno Smith is top 7 in yards.
Yeah, leave him alone,
29
man.
Touchdowns. Now, if I handed you a piece of paper that said at this week he's going to throw for 4,000 yards, I would have bet everything on there's no win. Hey, Geno Smith pulls this off number-wise.
Look, if there was a better quarterback class, fine.
I hate this quarterback class, bro. I'm sorry.
Outside of Will Levis, I ain't hot on any of them. I'm not necessarily hot on Will Levis.
It's just the best of what you got.
Yeah.
I like Stroud after seeing the championship or the college playoff game. I hope the Houston Texans take Bryce Young. Please, for the sake of the Colts, take Bryce Young, because I want to see him twice a week for the next 12 years. I have no fear of Bryce Young. Zero. None. Nada. Zilch. Who's up? Ooh. Hey, who's up next, Chris?
Next up is Vikings at Packers.
I'm sorry. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sorry.
How do we pick this?
Jason and I picked incorrectly with the Vikings, and you picked correctly with the Packers.
Because I knew when push come to shove and the game had to be won,
go ahead and say something
which
stupid.
Which quarterback I would take.
Go ahead and say something stupid.
And it's Aaron Rodgers.
I would take Aaron Rodgers over Minnesota's defense, too. They're the worst, second worst defense in the NFL.
Unfortunately, though, you didn't.
No. Unfortunately, I didn't. Because I thought that the offense was going to show up and overcompensate for it. But here's what happened for all you naysayers out there.
Now, might I add, as bad as Minnesota's defense was, and Rodgers threw for one passing touchdown, and they had two of them on the ground, and one was a quarterback sneak by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it wasn't like the defense was atrocious.
Yeah.
It was the special teams didn't show up.
The offense was bad, though, boy.
Kirk still had 200 yards passing.
And 3 interceptions.
Hey.
And 2 pick sixes.
No, that's not how that worked out at all. Let's talk about it. Okay, one of his interceptions hit right off the hands of TJ, and then a defender catches it. You can't blame that on – that's a stupid stat to put on the quarterback. That should be a deflection. It should be on the receiver. It's a turnover on the receiver. It's no different if he'd have caught the ball and fumbled it. It hit him right in the hands.
Yo, Nick Mullins come in, they went 4-for-4 with a touchdown and no interceptions.
What about it?
Now, do with that information what you will. Yes, I got it. No, but honestly, here's the problem, you know what I'm saying, with the Vikings going forward. If you take away Justin Jefferson, that shows you what else they got.
No, pardon me.
One catch for 15 yards on five targets. Jair Alexander was following him around the field. He couldn't get anything going his way. Nothing.
Okay, dude. One game of the season. Now, let's talk let's talk about
that particular corner. They've been dudded twice. He's been dudded twice about Jair Alexander. That's going to be his kryptonite corner.
No, like man. Every in the first game of the season, he blew up on him.
I'm pretty sure the first game of the season,
he got it over on Jair, I think. Look back. I don't know. I think I'm right here. Here's what I will tell you. You can talk all the junk you want to about how Aaron Rodgers owned Minnesota. Who's got the better record on the matchup with Kirk Cousins quarterback or Aaron Rodgers quarterback?
He's 4-4-1 right now.
No, he's 5-4-1.
No. Kirk Cousins is 4-4-1.
Wrong. Look it up. Look it up. Against the Green Bay Packers, Minnesota has the edge with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I think it's either 5-4-1 or 6-3-1. But it might be 6-4-1 now with that loss. Kirk Cousins got the edge. But even if it went 4-4-1, him and Aaron Rodgers are absolutely even.
He's 5-4-1.
Thank you. He's 5-4-1. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. No.
But even if
the Vikings, he's 4-4-1. He won one against Minnesota.
Now.
Or Washington, the first is Green Bay.
So he's beat.
So I was right.
Yeah, so he's,
okay, both of us are right.
So he's got Aaron Rodgers by one game. Yeah. But in all reality, 5-4-1 or 4-4-1, even 6-4-1, that's close.
That's fair enough.
Dude.
But.
You can't sit there. You wanted to say last week, Aaron Rodgers owned him. No, he don't.
Okay, that's fair.
Kirk Cousins beats him.
Going into the playoffs right now.
I would trust Kirk Cousins. Here's the deal. Kirk Cousins made great passes all day yesterday. Justin Jefferson slipped on one. That happens. Aaron Rodgers has threw pick sixes. Multiple ones in a game. Tom Brady has threw multiple pick sixes in games. You can't go off of that. That's a one-time rare occurrence. It don't happen all the time. But even on the interceptions that was thrown, it was bad mistakes by the receivers. It hit them in the hands or they fell down after the ball was thrown. Yeah, dude, I don't want to hear no BS about Kirk. Could Kirk have made a couple more passes? Absolutely. Was he perfect? No. But was he hitting receivers? Were they, in addition to the deflection for an interception, and the difference to Jefferson falling, which I'm not beating up Jefferson. That happens, man. That's football. It happens. There were several times he hit receivers in the hands and they just dropped the ball.
It honestly, either way you put it, you know, he had a chance to knock Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs and possibly get a number one seed in the playoffs.
They did.
Okay.
And Kirk Cousins showed up and did his part.
Kirk Cousins scored 17 points against a quarterback who habitually puts up 21+.
Kirk Cousins, again, come in and did his job. He threw the ball and he threw the ball accurately. He can't catch the ball, too. He can't run the ball, too. He can't play defense, too. Are you going to blame him on the kick return for a touchdown?
Why can't he? Pat Mahomes does it.
Hey, I've seen Pat Mahomes do
Pat
a lot
Mahomes
of
and Steve Young is one of the only quarterbacks I saw do that crazy crap. And that was crazy. I'll give it to him. Yeah. That's why Pat Mahomes. But realistically speaking, you go back and watch the game film. Kirk Cousins played a good game.
I feel like if Tua had them same numbers, he would be getting destroyed.
Here's the difference.
Do you know what Kirk Cousins' game, and I know Jason don't care about the QBR, but do you know what his QBR was for that game?
No, 10.3.
Because of three interceptions.
His overall is 48.9. He's 24th in the league.
And he's tied for 30th with 14 interceptions. So.
And it's his worst interception ratio ever. It's the first time he's ever thrown more than 13.
And you could argue it's still his best season. That's the crazy part. It's his worst season, his best season to tie together.
Because he's consistently over 4,000 yards passing.
But
he's consistently over 64% passing
completion.
They could
finish, 13-4. And who would that match them up with in the playoffs?
They would be third. So they would have, honestly, I don't mind that matchup as bad.
Sixth seed?
Four plays
five.
Yeah, so.
And then three plays six and two plays seven, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they would end up there with the six. I think that's going to be the Giants.
And they whooped the Giants.
It depends on what time the game is.
They've already beat them. They'll beat them again. And worse.
Yeah, they did beat the Giants last week, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, 27-24.
I don't – look, I'm telling you, if you watch that game, you can't be mad at Kirk Cousins. That's not me protecting him. It's just the reality of the game. Those picks were not on him. One of them was. One pick was on Kirk of the three.
I don't know if Tua threw a pick. It's on him though, right, Chris?
Have you seen the picks that Tua throws? He ain't got receivers falling down.
Well, there's only been eight of them.
They're not hitting off the... There's how many games has he played this year, Chris?
Let's see here.
I love a Chris coming from the top.
How many games?
I love when Chris be doing the weird things to them.
And how many of them came in the last five?
Five came in the last five.
Yeah, one a game. So you might as well go ahead and average. If he'd have been able to play that and have pulled him to save his legacy, he'd have done had 11, 12, 13. He wasn't getting better, bud. He was getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I'll tell all of you.
The Packers are going
to... I'll tell all of you. when anybody that you think's a good quarterback throws consistently for 4,000 more yards a season, come talk to me if their name isn't Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in the NFL and Justin Herbert in the NFL right now. I don't even think Burrow's going to do it consistently. Consistently. Kirk Cousins has done it every year as a starter.
It froze on me, Chris.
It's me. Go ahead.
He's done it every year as a starter. More importantly, last week you were talking about how you didn't like my top 10 all time. So I went back.
I'm trying to have an hour show and go home.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I went back, and I'm just going to talk about one of them because he's your favorite, and it seems to be a consensus amongst the populace that he's in the top five all time. His name's Peyton Manning.
Okay.
In Peyton Manning's first 128 games as a starter, compared to Kirk Cousins' first 126, Kirk Cousins outthrew him by 3,000 yards.
Okay, you also got to remember that
Kirk Cousins had more touchdowns. Hold on. Okay. Had more touchdowns.
Okay.
Had less interceptions.
Okay.
Had a higher percentage completion.
Okay.
And has two less playoff victories.
Okay. Okay, then let me ask
you one question. Two less playoff appearances. Sorry.
Okay, then let me ask you one question. And it's a yes or no question. It's a very simple solution for your entire diatribe right then. Has the game changed over the course of the 20 years?
Not for us.
All fishes. You gonna say the game ain't changed in 20 years, player.
Pause.
That is a bona fide
lie. Excuse me. Not for Peyton Manning and offenses he's been in.
You realize that, you know what I'm saying? When they had Edgerrin James, the Colts were very run. No, I got all day for this.
Peyton Manning threw more than four. Peyton Manning averaged more than 3,500 yards every season he threw.
Okay, what's your point? No, because I sent Chris about eight screen grabs of guys who are very comparable to
Peyton Manning's completion rate. Number of passing attempts.
He's really comparing the guy who literally was the fastest voted Hall of Famer ever to somebody who's barely beating out Jared Goff.
Because Hall of Fame is not but a popularity contest.
I don't know. Sound like
all I'm telling you is...
Well, it's not the Hall of Popularity. It's the Hall of Fame.
It's the Hall of Popularity. Fame is nothing but popularity, buddy. That's all it is. That's the definition of it. It's the popular.
So every Washington player who's ever been inducted into the Hall of Fame is
a popularity contest. Now, it has something to do with them being really good players. Okay, but when you compare apples to apples, game started versus game started, Kirk Cousins outperformed Peyton Manning up to this point.
But, Jason, the game is different. James Harden averaged more points a game than a Michael Jordan his first 7 years. If you want to really get into it, switch to sports. That's because the game of football and the game of basketball have been played differently over the course of two decades. You can't tell me that the running backs weren't the number one primary offensive option
for basically
1990.
Excuse me.
No, wait.
Pull it
Troy
up.
Aikman is
pull up the number of pass attempts by Peyton Manning in his first 160 starts. Or 128 starts.
Jason's
I
like,
guarantee
pick the
you,
passing number of attempts he took on Thursday.
ESPN. Oh, no.
Yeah, he
just
kind of LeBron James style stats to make a point.
No, I'm telling you that Peyton Manning threw for as many attempts as Kirk Cousins has. It's not more. Kirk
Jason,
Cousins'
the game
offense.
Is played different,
hold on.
Jason.
Kirk Cousins'
the game is played different.
Kirk Cousins' offense.
Yeah, because his offense is just chuck it 40 yards.
Kirk Cousins' offense is more of a replica offense of the old days than it is the new, and it's very run-heavy. And very play action heavy. You don't see Kirk Cousins every down in the gun. You saw Peyton Manning in the gun as much, if not more, than Kirk Cousins.
Jason, and you mind cannot you talk, hold sit on. Here and say mind with you talking about how
mind you talking about how the game
not played different. Here's what 20
changed
years ago.
In the game in 20 years.
They here's, okay, okay. Matter of fact, hold on. No, because I'll tell you what's changed. You can no longer press man receivers at the line and ride their 40 yards downfield.
No,
otherwise,
you can ride it for five the same way they did it 20 years ago. That, okay. That rule's
you
been the same.
You also can't touch a quarterback anymore.
The rule's been the same.
No,
now,
no
the,
it hasn't.
Now, the quarterback
no, no,
touching,
no, that rule has got dramatically
yeah,
worse
the quarterback
since
rule.
Tom Brady
no, no,
threw his knee
I'm
out.
Talking about the 5 yards can't ride. You get 5 yards, you've been able to have 5 yards for
they,
the past
okay.
40 years. Now,
they have,
the
really,
hitting the quarterback,
they have really got worse on that pass interference call. You can't even say defenses ain't played different. Now, if you hit somebody come across the middle, I tell you what, you put Troy Polamalu in today's game, he's going to be
you,
five,
hey,
$7
million.
I can
take game film from this year alone and a game from a week ago. When Washington had a guy draped on his back, he piggyback rode him
Jason,
all the way
you're
through the end zone.
What, you're picking
no,
one play
but the
call
game
20.
Changed. That's what you said. Here's what's changed
you're
in the game.
You're picking that one call
no,
because it affected your football team.
Here's what's changed
in
the game.
That's why.
In the early,
here's what's changed in the game. There's more passes attempted. The game is played at a faster rate.
I'll tell
rate.
You what. If you think
the yards
been,
per game. And, okay,
if you think
so
there's
by
been
that
more
logic,
passes
should we compare it to
hold
Bradshaw to Tom Brady because the game was played differently?
Excuse me.
No, you can't do that.
If you think. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Let's be factual. If you think there was more pass attempts today than there was under Peyton Manning, simply pull the number of attempts Peyton Manning made and pull
okay,
the number
that's,
of attempts
okay,
that Kirk,
okay.
Kirk Cousins made.
Okay, that's
I bet
argument.
You he made more pass attempts.
Okay, fair enough. But, okay, though, if you want to argue that point, I won't even look it up. I'll just give it to you. You can also argue that offenses are played differently today versus
sure.
20 years ago.
And let's talk
you,
about how they're different real quick.
I was
all
really
right?
talking about something, though, but
no,
Kirk
no,
Cousins every
no,
week.
No, no, here.
I
no.
hope this man catches a malignant cancer. Go ahead.
Here, let's use the facts being pointed out. Here's the things that's changed on offense. Read option. The triple option's back. The run pass option is a thing now. But during pace time.
So everything you just read benefits what? The
does it
offense.
Benefit Kirk Cousins? That doesn't that's not what he does. They don't do it a lot. Here's the things that here's what Peyton Manning had. He had the air raid, which is nothing but throwing the ball. That's when it was heavy. That was his golden years from 1997 to roughly 2014. The air raid was the gospel of the NFL. By name alone, Chris, who has no familiarity with that time period, if I was to say run pass option and air raid, which one do you think's more pass heavy?
I'd say run pass option. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, air raid.
Yeah. What about it?
I'm just saying, we can talk about Kirk or whoever every week because at some point, I've got to beat into y'all's head what is a good quarterback and what ain't and what really matters and what don't.
What doesn't matter is playoff wins and actual winning football games when they matter. What does matter is arbitrary stats you can pull out of a hat and argue one guy for 17 weeks and you're the only one who's ever you've ever found who agrees with you.
No, that's not
that's
true.
That's what really matters.
That's not true. But,
now,
hey, you
like
know what?
Drug
hey,
addict as well.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Albert Einstein was the only guy that people agreed with him. They all thought he was a phony. He ended up being the greatest mind of our times. I don't mind being alone.
Well.
I don't mind being alone. I don't mind being alone. I don't mind being a rose in a garden of weeds, brother. Here's the thing. If Kirk Cousins hasn't won a Super Bowl in 2 years, you can talk.
Listen to me. I'm just trying to find offensive articles, you know what I'm saying, for the past
of
20
sports
years.
Writers.
No. Guys who look at numbers, how dare them? And November 12, 2020, the NFL has never seen an offensive boom like this. I'm trying to find out now the difference in offensive points in the 90s or 2000s versus the 2020s.
Yeah, they have better quarterbacks now.
And
they have better quarterbacks now.
Okay.
Yes or
do
no?
Do you think that the game is more skewed towards the offense right now than 20 years ago?
Than 20 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, I think there's a yes. few more favorable rules. For the quarterback of protection.
Thank you, Court. I would like to rest my case. Chris, who's the next game?
If that's the only thing you got.
Yes.
When
once
he,
again.
Know, if
when,
you
okay,
go
okay,
to the
okay.
court of law
James
and you
Harden
say,
has never won
no,
any kind of titles,
if you
any
go
MVPs,
to the,
nothing.
If you're going before a judge, Judge Puryear, his argument is because there's been a few more favorable rules to protect a quarterback, meaning you might get rough in the passer calls, of which Kirk doesn't get. He gets hit all the time and doesn't
I'm
get those calls.
I'm arguing that the game is plenty
but
different.
If Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning threw the ball more than Kirk Cousins, Chris, uh-huh. if he attempted to make passes more than Kirk Cousins.
Can you get that?
If he attempted to make passes, and he has more attempts than Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins had more completions, who would you say is better at completing
the
ball?
But the game is played different, Jason.
How?
That's what I'm trying to
what
tell you.
What does that have to do with passing and catching? He passed the ball more and they caught it less, and Kirk Cousins passes the ball less and catches it more.
Brandon, did I understand the rule that you mentioned earlier about the 15 yards versus the 5 yards to be how far they can hold, essentially?
No.
For free without being a pass interference?
The wide receivers could actually be hit in the 90s and 2000s.
Uh-huh.
If you breathe in a man's direction in 2022, you're getting a flag.
That's not
if
true.
I'll tell you what. Could any safety, could Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed play in today's game and hit somebody how they did in the 2000s? No, because they would get 16 game suspensions, during week one.
But that rule just happened last year. What are you
that
targeting?
That has been 5 years in the making. And
that's
you know
targeting.
It. That's been coming in
that's
every
different.
Year.
That's targeting. Hitting a defenseless player is a targeting rule.
Lord have mercy.
Rams at Chargers.
Anyways. The stats don't lie, folks. Anytime you feel like learning something, just go look at them and don't
I'll
make
tell you
excuses
what's that
for them.
Lie. 41-17, and you let your division rival walk into the playoffs. At 31-10, the bottom
Los
Angeles Chargers.
They're not in the playoffs yet.
Well, luckily for y'all ain't
the
either
The Lions going to beat them. And we, maybe. The Minnesota
the
is in
playoffs.
The playoffs. What are you
now,
talking
better
about?
Hope it's not a 4 o'clock game. Anyway, at 31-10. In the Battle of Los Angeles, where the Chargers are now 10-6 and finally made the playoffs under head coach Brandon Staley.
I don't know why I didn't pick Chargers with you, but I picked Rams with Jason.
Jesus Christ, I must have really called it. Why would y'all pick the Rams in this football game?
Right, you went 11-7 this week. Let me just go ahead and give you the quick overall, because we also all picked the Ravens game wrong.
We're tied then.
Jason has 148 games correct. You have 147.
Oh, so I'm still winning.
At the end of this week, I got 130.
Chris is officially out unless you go 17-0.
We missed them all.
You were at 61.5, and he is at 61.9.
Yeah, I had a heck of a week. The Rams are just losing to help the Lions at this point, I believe, and the Chargers. they really don't want to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs. See, the next up, Ravens and Steelers, classic slugfest in the AFC North, a 13-16. I'm just glad
Mike Tomlin does it again.
Mike Tomlin habitually finds a way to go 500. And I'll tell you, next week he's going to tie just to keep the streak alive. Najee Harris finally decided he knew
but
how to play
wins,
football
if he wins,
they again.
Might go to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. 111 yards on the
and
ground.
And I bet their coach knows it.
And also had a heck of a touchdown catch. I think that Kenny Pickett might be all right. Baltimore's got to get their Lamar Jackson to come back if they want to make any noise. And Kenny Pickett, 6 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on the year. Although his numbers indicate a poor performance, I feel like he could be okay in Pittsburgh. Props to Mike Tomlin, man. He almost done it again. He's close.
Thank you, Valco Outdoor Power and Equipment, for sponsoring this hour of Tornado Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. Stay tuned. We got more arguments to come. I just left you a surprise.
Oh, boy, that's not good. Mouth was open and everything.
Wrong.
That was very, very wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he won't kiss
me. It was a hot take.
It kissed me 5 minutes and got your payback.
3rd and 8 is back.
Hey, guys, welcome back here to Throwing an 8 on Next Door Radio and nextdoorradio.com. It's the last week of the year next week. It's kind of a sad time, unless you're a Colts fan. It's happy time, because, you know what I'm saying? We're tired of seeing this crap show. But, hey, 2 big games on Sunday, Saturday, though, if the Chiefs win against the Oakland Raiders, I'll stand by this, then they're top seed in the AFC overall. And then the big, I never thought I'd say this, on my birthday, I get to watch the Titans Jaguars and actually pay attention and care, because whoever wins makes the playoffs. Now, first up, Chiefs and Raiders. The right now, Las Vegas is at home.
Jeez.
Kansas City's a 9.5 favorite. I'm taking Kansas City. Chris, who you got? Jason's picked the Chiefs.
It'd be great if I wasn't muted.
I was gonna say,
I'm
Chris,
also going Chiefs.
Okay, then turn your mic on. Hey, up next in Duval,
Jags.
Titans are going to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is almost a touchdown favorite at the crib. Give
Jags.
Me T. Lawrence and Travis Etienne to make some noise in the playoffs. Jacksonville could make the playoffs, and they'll have a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Make some noise, Duval. Go ahead.
Amazing
baby.
What happens when you get a good coach.
Ain't it though?
Also going Jaguars. I let my son make my picks for me this week. Carry on.
Okay.
Ravens at Bengals. This is on Sunday.
Bengals. This is a big game. I think that Lamar is going to come back for this game. I'm hoping he does. The Bengals could have both teams have a lot ride on this game. It could be, depending on how the night goes, the battle of the AFC North crown in a home playoff spot. Joe Shiesty is -7 at the crib at Paul Brown Stadium. Give me the Bengals.
I also have the Bengals.
Oh, excuse me, Parkour Stadium.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, sorry.
Paycor.
Paycor, whatever. Anyway, up next, Tampa Bay and the Falcons.
Wait,
Atlanta.
Did Jason pick?
Yeah, he picked Bengals.
Bengals.
Yeah,
all of the next game, nobody's playing to win anything.
Nobody's playing to win this game. The Bucs have got their number four seed suited up, and the Atlanta Falcons are playing because that's what they do on Sundays, and they got to collect the paycheck. Weird thing, Atlanta's favorite at -3 at the crib in Georgia. Chris, who you taking in this, boy?
Falcons.
Jason, who you taking?
Give me Brady.
I think Brady sits. I'll take the Falcons as well. Coming up next is Patriots and Bills. Buffalo got to win this game
to
keep the Patriots.
Why do you think he sits real
quick? There's no reason to play him. He's 45 years old. You know what he's going to get in the playoffs.
Fair enough, but did you see the comment he made about, like, he did not want to be benched this game?
Oh, then give me Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah, he made it very clear.
Tampa Bay.
He would be very mad at his coach.
Yeah, because they need some momentum going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you do what Brady says, and he don't want to finish with a losing record.
That's right.
Because win or lose, it's going to be tied to his record, and so he wants to go into the record playoffs with a winning record.
So you'd like to change that back to Bucks?
I would, yes, please. Right, so that's enough. My mulligan on the week.
All right.
Up next is the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. Bills are a touchdown favorite at the crib. Jason, who you got?
I'm going Bills. It's a must win for them.
Bills.
They're playing for something.
Fair enough.
Up next is the Minnesota Vikings versus the Chicago Bears. Honestly, the Bears are playing to make sure that they don't win this football game, and the Vikings have got to win it to hopefully snag a shot at the NFC number one seed.
But they can't have number one.
I mean, what the Eagles lose? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And here's my thing. I think they might rest a few players because they are injury riddled right now, the Vikings are, and they would be smart. I mean, you don't want to do anything to ruin your momentum. So it would be nice to get a win. I just don't know how hard they're going to play in this game. I want to say that before I make a pick, and I'd like to pick last because I've been picking first. So I need to think about this.
I'll take the Vikings.
Fine, I'll take the Vikings.
All right. Up next is the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are -2.5, and the Texans have been a proverbial thorn in our side the past three seasons. And we're going to start Sam Ehlinger at quarterback, and the Texans play hard. I'm going to take the Houston Texans to upset the Indianapolis Colts.
I'll take the Texans, too.
Dang it, Jason. Stop stealing my picks.
My son picked the Colts.
I've been picking first.
Fair enough. Up next, though, we got the New York Jets.
Oh, the must-win game for one of them.
I'll take the New York Jets in this football game. I don't feel like the Teddy Bridgewater or the Skylar Thompson is capable of winning a football game in the line. And right now, it's even. So there's no favorite that'll win this football game. Tyreek Hill, he's probably going to get locked up by Sauce Gardner. So
yeah,
I'll take the Jets.
I'm with you. I think the Jets.
I think Jason's going to take every game I take to mathematically.
I'll pick first, homeboy.
Okay,
I'd like to pick the Jets, except my son picked the Dolphins for me. So, Panthers Saints. And, of course, you know how he picked that one.
Oh, that's a tough one. Chris, why don't you pick first?
Here? Saints.
Neither one of these teams are really playing for anything. Panthers have more to lose than the Saints, so I'm going to go Panthers.
I'll take the Saints in this.
Here's the next one.
The Saints are a 3.5-point favorite at Crib. They're coming up next is Browns and Steelers.
Bailey's on TV.
Does the Deshaun Watson finally get to 8 wins, and does it finally happen to Mike Tomlin? The Pittsburgh's the favorite at the house. At Heinz Field, ain't no agriculture stadium, it's Heinz Field. Oh, all right, Chris.
Steelers.
Brandon, who do you think?
I was waiting on you, player.
I don't know. The Steelers are playing for a playoff spot. The Browns are not.
Yeah,
the Steelers are playing for the first time ever not falling for 500. Although
I think
Cleveland's the better team, but I'm going with Steelers. Yeah.
Steelers ain't going to let them win this football game, at least in my opinion. Hey,
yeah, it would be Brandon Staley of him to lose to the Broncos in this next pick, but I'm going Chargers.
Chargers-Broncos.
Yeah, Chargers-Broncos. The Chargers are -3 away. Denver sucks. Next question.
I have Chargers as well.
Okay. Now, this one's going to be a big one.
Yeah, this one matters to Philadelphia. It does not matter to the Giants.
I feel like this is going to be a very big game. The Giants, if nothing else, could just ride some momentum to the playoffs and piss the Eagles off. Sometimes it's all that, you really need going into the postseason.
You know,
Eagles are minus 14 favorite.
But you know why this?
I'm taking the Giants plus 14 right now. Hold on, Chris. What?
Do you know why I think the Giants have something to play for here? If they was to win this game and San Francisco wins and Minnesota loses, they become the number two seed, which means they don't play San Francisco. Because in any other instance, they could have to play San Francisco.
I don't think – and I got both these quarterbacks going into the fantasy championship. I have rode Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts all year long, and Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, I might add, and Mark Andrews.
I just don't know that Jalen Hurts comes back.
I think Jalen Hurts plays this week. I think – dude, he cannot sit 5 weeks going into the playoffs after his playoff – you know what I'm saying, the performance last year. Give me the Eagles that'll win this football game, like all things considered.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Eagles.
I, too, have Eagles.
Dayball, don't screw me.
Coming up next, I ain't got nothing else to say.
49ers.
I also have 49ers.
Yep. Carry on.
Ooh. I'm actually going to pick the Rams.
Ooh. Hey, coming up next is the Seahawks versus the Rams. If the Seahawks win, I think it's a fighting chance that they're still in this football you know, playoff.
Rams playing spoiler in this game.
I feel like the Rams are playing for nothing and the Seahawks are playing for everything. I'll take the Hawks in this football game.
I'll take the Rams.
I also have Seahawks. And lastly, no, not lastly. Just
coming
kidding.
Up next, the Cowboys and Commanders. I'm going to let y'all have at it. I'm taking Dallas.
The only thing the Commanders coaches are playing for at this point is their jobs.
And that's a lot to play for, Coach.
Who is starting? Have they named a starter yet?
Mm-mm. I think Dallas got to win this football game.
There has been a conversation that they're going to start. Potentially
Sam Howell.
Start, yeah, Howell. Howell or potentially Heinicke.
Over Heinicke?
They've not... Yeah.
They know what they got in Heinicke. I mean, though they don't know what they got in Howell.
Here's my deal.
That's the only argument you can
it's
make.
It's the
that.
First time I'll ever do this and the last time I'll ever do this in my life.
Don't do it.
I will
don't
pick the Dallas Cowboys. Oh.
I also have the Cowboys. Brandon, you pick the Cowboys?
My
yes,
God,
I,
dude.
Of course I did.
That
I'm not picking y'all.
Is the worst thing you could do to me.
Fair enough.
As a coaching staff is to force me to make that pick, but you're that stupid. You're as stupid
as the Miami
coaching staff when they pull Fitzpatrick.
I told
stupid.
You for 2 years if Ron didn't have a feel-good story, he'd have been fired. Plain and simple.
Ah,
boy.
Now
you
this
know
next
who lives
one.
In this house?
A
great
phony.
Big phony. That's right. A phony lives here. A big fat phony.
Now this game has this was been man. Flexing the prime time.
Now
this is
this
for all the marbles.
Even Dan
I want no part of
it.
Picking this one, bro.
I'll take the lines. I'll take the lines, even if it costs me to win a season. I've rode with them all year. I'm going to ride with them to the end. And maybe Aaron Rodgers comes back and wins. They've already beat them one time. Lions, Lions, Lions. Let's go.
I got Packers.
This is the one time I've watched a Lions-Packers game. Like, I really, like, I'm curious to see who pulls this football game up. I'm very interested in the game. I kind of wish it was on my birthday. Jared Goff has played so well down the stretch. Dan Campbell got them boys biting kneecaps off. But something I will say is that the Lions defense has been really prone to having huge run days on them. And I think that Aaron Jones is going to get a butt ton of carries in this football game. They give me the Green Bay Packers sneaking into the playoffs. And in their worst seasons collectively, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are going to make the playoffs.
And that probably be in the NFC Championship.
Who would it shock? Nobody at this table.
Well, there you go. That is the games for Week 18.
Real quickly, before we head out, man, I want to talk about something very briefly. The college playoffs. Props to the Texas Christian Horned Frogs for sending Jim Harbaugh to Indianapolis. I want to thank you guys in advance.
No, he's going to Denver. He's already been talking to them.
Horned Frogs. Wow. That's their mascot. Like over the Wolverines.
Yeah, he's been talking to them.
And then the poor man who is the kicker for Ohio State.
Mm.
I don't pray for people. It's not my thing. But I, you're in my thoughts and prayers, young man, because you had a long, long flight home. Mm. Georgia is going
to
blow the boots off of TCU in this national title game.
I doubt that.
I don't know.
Now
about
Max
that.
Duggan has had a heck of a season, but I really just believe that Georgia is going to be too much SEC powerhouse for those boys at Texas Christian. So I'm taking. I don't know what the spread is right now. Honestly, it would be a top five, like, all-time biggest upset during college football if TCU wins this on the 9th at 7:30. Like, it would be a top five massive upset.
But TCU.
I'm cheering for Georgia,
I like
man.
The underdogs.
I'm tired of Alabama, and having to watch Alabama fans, hey, sit through another Georgia national title, it would please me.
I'm just happy to watch him have to sit through anybody win a national title other than himself.
Boy, ain't it, though. It's nice.
And when a TCU beats you, if TCU gets a national title over you.
Georgia's a two-touchdown favorite, by the way.
Let them have it.
If TCU wins it, props to him, bro, because that would be, I'm telling you, a top five all-time upset in college football. Hey, Stetson Bennett hadn't lost a game in 2 years, and this man's getting no draft hype, like mostly because he's 26 years old or 25 years old, still playing in college. He should be good. He's playing against 18-year-old kids, is what everybody keeps saying, but it is what it is. Hey, fellas, so next week is it, and then it's playoff time.
Did you see what Garner Minshew said he did in college to get a year redshirt? He broke his own hand with a hammer when he was ACU.
That's the most Garner Minshew thing I've ever heard.
Jesus.
That sounds like something somebody with a mullet would say.
All I'm telling you is sometimes there's some things that's worth waiting. You know? I'll tell you what. I won the greatest all-time argument with Kirk.
No, you did not.
And I'm going to win this next one as we say goodbye.
The next week is going to be a playoff.
The Bengals whiteout jerseys
that's the
are
best
the greatest
uniform.
All-time uniform
it's
I've ever seen.
It's the best uniform currently in the game. No argument there for me.
Although I saw one whiteout Vikings uniform with the purple horn.
I hadn't seen that one. I know that Bengals with the helmet with the White Tiger frost.
But, man, the White Tiger frost, man, I ain't going to lie. Greatest all time. With that said, thank you, Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment, for sponsoring this hour. Third Nate here on Next Door Radio, nextdoorradio.com. If it's true and Dan Campbell brings the throwback Barry Sanders jerseys back against the game at for Green Bay, which he's talking about, that too could be in the conversation for one of the all-time greatest uniforms. We'll find out next week. We'll find out who gets to pull out the season champion on the
picks.
Not
me, not my.
Who knows? Anything can happen. We'll see you guys.